about the return of the Jews, about redemption and of deliverance. And there is a cameo, I suppose, in many ways, of deliverance, of course, in the miracle in Mark 4, when the disciples were fearful of death during that storm, and suddenly there is calm and there is deliverance. And of course, there are storms in our lives. And there was a storm in the life of this character that we're going to be looking at as a result of those words in Jeremiah. But for there to be deliverance, there needs to be troubles to be delivered from. Now, for the Jews, it was here in perhaps in Jeremiah 30, it was initially the 70-year captivity, and then the scattering throughout the world from AD 70. And I think Jeremiah 30, though, is really, I think, looking at the latter part with regards to the return of the Jews in our present time, 1948 and so on, culminating at the time of the return of the Lord Jesus and the kingdom of God being set up. So, for example, I think this is exemplified in verse 3, when it talks again, when God says, I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah. Of course, Israel, the 10 tribes of Israel, had been scattered at the time of the Assyrians. And I think Jeremiah then in chapter 30 is looking to the time of the deliverance of the Jews at this present time and when the Lord Jesus returns. But we'll pick up our theme in verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that they will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. These two words, Jacob's trouble, I suppose, strictly speaking, the three words, the trouble of Jacob, but Jacob's trouble. And the way I sort of think about this, about deliverance from trouble, is really a three-point triangle. Well, a triangle has got 3 points, of course. We've got deliverance at 1 point, deliverance from troubles, from fear. We think of those disciples in a storm on the sea. From afflictions. But to be delivered from trouble, we've got to trust. Now, we either trust in ourselves, in our own ability, or we might trust in people generally, people in the world. But more pertinently, more importantly, we need to trust in God. So deliverance, troubles, and trust. Now, this word trouble is used a fair number of times in the Old Testament, especially in the Psalms, and a bit more of that towards the end. But it is used only once. Only once is it used with regards to Jacob, in the life of Jacob. And that's back in Genesis chapter 35. So let's go to Genesis 35. There we pick up where this word, this word that is used once in the life of Jacob, occurs. Genesis 35, we get to set in verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and unto all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise, and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. God who answered me in the day of my distress. There's that word, trouble. The word distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And so then, by Jacob saying this then helps us locate So the time in Jacob's life when he was in great difficulty, in his mind maybe the greatest difficulty, was when he was fleeing from Esau. The time of Jacob's trouble was when he was fleeing for his life from a vengeful Esau. Esau said, when Isaac has died, my father has died, I will slay Jacob. So we are going back there to see how God was there for Jacob, how God worked in Jacob's life, and how God delivered Jacob. Luke, in his prayer, mentioned about relying in the Lord God, relying in the Lord Jesus. And here we are. We need, like Jacob did, to rely on the Lord God. So it's back in Genesis 28. He's arrived at Bethel, fleeing from Esau. And in verse 12 of chapter 28 in Genesis, we read, he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And verse 15, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again unto this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. I am with thee, it says there in verse 15, and I will keep you, and I will bring you again. These are very similar words to my mind, to the words that were spoken to the children of Israel when they had been delivered out of Egypt and were on their journey, you know, their pilgrimage, their sojournings to the land of rest. Because in Exodus 23, we are told, I will send an angel before thee, and which will keep thee in the way and will bring you to the place I have prepared for you. For very similar words to here, I am with you, I will keep you, and I will bring you again. This is what God was saying to Jacob. Also note the words at the end of verse 15. I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Now, I want us to remember these words spoken to Jacob at Bethel, because 20 years later in Jacob's life, we'll be coming back to them. But they're also words, aren't they, that take our minds to other passages. We got the Psalm, the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear them and fear him and delivers them. And then we've got Hebrews, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What is Jacob's response to these words of God? Well, we've got verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. So he's reiterating, really, isn't he, what God has said to him. Then he goes on to say, then shall the Lord be my God. The Lord shall be my God. And again, we get an echo of that in our Jeremiah reading. Ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. And 20 years later, Jacob leaves Laban and returns to Canaan with Leah and Rachel and the children. And he's been through a torrid time. But during this time, he's recognized God's hand at work in his life. He had developed. He had allowed his wife's life to be governed by God. He had brought, thinking about the parables, so he'd brought forth good fruit through his life. And when Laban chased after him, Jacob says it as it was. And this is in Genesis 31. In Genesis 31, verse 38, we have the words of Jacob. This 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of beasts I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was, in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Amazing, isn't it? Here he was, he had borne the brunt of things. You know, if things had been lost out of the flock or stolen from the flock, he bore the loss of it, not Laban. He'd have been thirsting by day, and he'd been full of frostbite, as it were, almost by night. And it'd been lack of sleep. A difficult time, very, very difficult time. And then his wages were changed 10 times. And we could be confident, brothers and sisters, that when they were changed 10 times, they didn't go up. They went down. And so there is this picture. But amongst all this, what does Jacob say? Well, you have verse 42. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now empty. God has seen mine affliction and the labors of my hands and rebuked thee yesternight. Of course, an angel had appeared to Laban the night before. But here we have Jacob recognizing how God had been with him in these difficult times. Nonetheless, God had been with him and had brought him through. Remember what the angel had said, I am with you, and I will keep you, and I will bring you again. And Jacob recognized that despite all these difficulties, God was working in his life, chastening him. And I think by chastening him, we need to remember that chastening means disciplining or instructing, training. So he's been instructed him. God was molding him. He was preparing him for the kingdom. And so we're back in Genesis 35, back at Bethel, where God appears to him and where Jacob recounts that time of being answered by God in the day of his distress, of his trouble, and how he was with him in the way in which he went. But we pick it up in verse 11. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and the company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. Remember what God had said back all those years later, earlier, 20 years or 40 years, depending how we view the time he'd spent with Laban. All those years earlier in Bethel, God had said, I'm going to be with you, I'm going to keep you, and I'm going to bring you again. But he says, and I'll be doing this until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And here he is, back in Bethel. And we read, God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And so I think this angel that had been with him, I think it's the angel of the Lord, probably Michael, had been with him all these years, leaves him. Now, of course, we know that the angels of the God remained in Jacob's life, accompanying him from the rest of his life. But this particular purpose had been accomplished because he's now back in Bethel, being brought back there, put his trust in God. He was back there, and God went up from him in a place, until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Of course, this wasn't the end of Jacob's troubles. We know it must have been heartrending when he thought he'd lost Joseph, mourning for his favorite son all those years. And so at the end of his life, and we go there in chapter 47, at the end of his life, How does Jacob view his life? And in chapter 47 and verse 7, we read, Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, How old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, The days of the years of my pilgrimage, 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. So Jacob, a traveller, a keeper of cattle, up here before Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the known world at that time. And Jacob blesses Pharaoh. And remember, the lesser is blessed by the greater. But notice what he says. His life had been a pilgrimage. Twice he says it. My life has been a pilgrimage. He's been on a journey. Of course, it's a journey to the kingdom, isn't it? And his life, how does he view his life? It says, few and evil are the days of our life been. So that's Jacob. And the time has now come for Jacob to die. And this the setting for this is in the next chapter, chapter 48. And Joseph brings his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, to Jacob for his blessing. But notice how now, predominantly, Jacob is now referred to as Israel. He had been named Israel years earlier, many years earlier, at the time when he had wrestled with that angel, Israel, prince with God. But it's now, only now in these latter chapters, that he's referred to time and again as Israel. And thinking about wrestling, how Jacob had wrestled with that angel. Remember, brothers and sisters, we all wrestle with our angels. When we are spiritually strong, we are wrestling and overcoming the world. You know, the cares of this life, you know, depicted, for example, by those thorns in that parable of the seeds. But when we are weak, when we are wrestling and giving in, perhaps, to the pull of flesh, when those cares of the world can so easily choke the word that is in us, perhaps we don't realize we are also wrestling with our angel. You see, we want to go one way, but our angel is trying to persuade us through the ways of providence to go down the right way. We can think of Balaam on the ass and so on the way, push left or right, but going headlong. Yeah. We are trying to go one way, but God, the angels, or the ways of providence, is coercing us, encouraging us to go in another. And we can resist and resist, can't we, sometimes? But Jacob says, God was with me in the way I went. And sure, in these latter chapters, Jacob is now known or named much more so as Israel, time and again. Prince with God is what Martin referenced back in the time when he wrestled with the angel renders out. Another suggested meaning for Israel is God governed, governed by God. And I think this is beautiful because, of course, this is Jacob's life, isn't it? He had learned through those difficulties, through those afflictions, through those troubles, at times when he was fearful, to put his trust in God, realizing there was deliverance. By putting his trust in God, his character was molded, so he allowed his life to be governed by God. And if we want to become an Israel, then we need to want God to govern our lives, and we need to allow God to govern our lives. You see, there is only one way to life, isn't it? Yeah, the other way, the only other way is oblivion. And God is there through his angels to keep us in that way. No matter how low we feel, how many doubts we have, if we continue to fear God, revere him, rely on him, trust him, he's there for us. And Jacob, or Israel, recognizes this. He'd wrestled with life, but he persevered, knowing that God was with him. So chapter 48 and verse 11. And Israel said unto Joseph, had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. See, doubts, we all have doubts. I had not thought to see thy face. But notice how quickly the conviction comes in. When he says, lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. Not only have I seen you, Joseph, but I've also seen your children. That's not quite right, is it? It's God. He recognizes it is God that has allowed him to see Joseph again and Joseph's children. There is this conviction of how God was working in his life. But there's more. Verse 15. Israel blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long until this day. Fed me. Shepherded me. This is what the word feeding means. Shepherded. God shepherded me all, not bits and pieces, but all my life long to this day. And then verse 16, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. So here he is, isn't it? Recognizing God through the angel in his life. And how he was redeemed, delivered. It's the first time the word redeemed occurs in the scriptures. It's this word here, this time here, the angel which redeemed me from all evil. And that's the same word that crops up tomorrow in tomorrow's reading in Jeremiah, talking once again about the redemption of Jacob being ransomed. It's the word ransomed there in Jeremiah 31, verse 11. But here we have Jacob recognizing how God had redeemed him, delivered him from evil. And through those doubts and fears of his life, fleeing from Esau, traveling on his own, Laban's persecution, fleeing from Laban, the prospect of meeting a vengeful Esau, the shame that his family had brought on him when they slew the Shechemites, the incest of Judah and Tamar, the apparent death of Joseph. Despite all these troubles, brethren and sisters, he recognized that God, through the angel, had been with him, had fed him, had kept him, and brought him to the threshold of the kingdom. Now, of course, brothers and sisters, we may not meet angels in the way that Jacob did, but we have David's statement that they are active in our lives as they were in his, and they are bringing us to the kingdom. Psalm 46. Psalm 46. We have the word trouble coming up again, the same word as in Jeremiah. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And the same words again, verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord of hosts is with us. And the God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord of hosts. With hosts in the scriptures, hosts can mean the heavens, you know, the sun, moon, and the stars, the expanse of the universe. The hosts can also refer to the angels. And the horse also sometimes referred to the children of Israel. These are the horse of the Lord God. Yet amongst all this might and at times incomprehensible awe that is God, we have something that we can comprehend. He is the God of Jacob. There it is in both verses 7 and 11. The Lord of hosts with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. He is the God of Jacob, and he's therefore our God. He called Jacob by name, and he calls us by name. And Jacob became Israel. God governed. And my mind goes to Nathanael. And Jesus says of Nathanael, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no Jacob." Nathanael had allowed his life to be governed by God, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no Jacob. And if we allow our lives to be governed by God, then he is our refuge. He is our deliverer. And he's not just a help, not even a present help, but rather a very present help in trouble. And perhaps through life's difficulties, sometimes, brothers and sisters, we have trouble seeing God's hand at work in our lives, because sometimes they can be all consuming. It seems we do end up feeling as we choke in, being choked by those thorns of life. And we might try to resolve our problems in a certain way, perhaps, when sometimes God is encouraging us to go down a different way, down the right way. And whenever this happens, we need to remember, as Jacob did, that God is in control, and that we are not simply wrestling with humanity, with our flesh. We are also wrestling at times, perhaps, with our angels who have power over lives and are directing our ways to help us become an Israel, become governed by God. One final thought from the life of Jacob to bring us to the table to remember the Lord Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, who, of course, in the hour of his greatest need, was comforted by an angel. We will recall that Rachel gave birth to Benjamin. Of course, she died as a result of that birth. And when the son was born, she named him Benoni, son of my sorrows. And then thinking of that meaning of Benoni, son of my sorrows, my mind, thinking of the Lord Jesus, goes to Isaiah 53, whence, amongst other things, he is described as a man of sorrows. So perhaps in Benoni, we see the Lord Jesus' death. But Jacob, with his eye of faith and belief and trust, names him Benjamin, son of the right hand. Notice, not son of my right hand, but son of the right hand. And I think Jacob's looking too beyond to the time when the Lord Jesus would be at the right hand of the Father. Jesus raised from the dead on the right hand of God. Benoni, the Lord Jesus' death. Benjamin, the Lord Jesus' resurrection and being at the right hand of God. So, brothers and sisters, like Jacob and like all these faithful men and women of old, we are on that journey. But like them, we need to comprehend that it's the journey of deliverance, It's also a journey that for deliverance, we need to trust in God and also thereby allow our lives to be governed by God, knowing that despite all these things that are happening at the moment, which surely point to us being on the threshold of the kingdom, that in this present order of things, we have no continuing city, but rather we seek one to come. Thank you. Thank you.